The Holy Gospel according to St. John, the 15th chapter.
Glory to you, Lord.
These are the words of Christ. I am the true vine, and my Father is the vine grower. He removes every branch in me that bears no fruit. Every branch that bears fruit, he prunes to make it bear more fruit. You have already been cleansed by the word that I have spoken to you. Abide in me as I abide in you. Just as the branch cannot bear fruit by itself unless it abides in the vine, neither can you unless you abide in me. I am the vine, you are the branches. Those who abide in me and I in them bear much fruit. Because apart from me you can do nothing. Whoever does not abide in me is thrown away like a branch and withers. Such branches are gathered, thrown into the fire and burned. If you abide in me, and my words abide in you, ask for whatever you wish, and it will be done for you. My Father is glorified by this, that you bear much fruit and become my disciples. The Gospel of our Lord.
Praise to you, O Christ.
Please be seated. Grace and peace be unto you from our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ.
Amen.
The theme that runs throughout today's readings is that of love. And I struggle with this because I'm not sure how to define the word love. We are a culture filled with lust, with infatuation, with envy, with jealousy, with greed, with many things that we term love. We might love pizza. We might love Justin Bieber. And this is the same word that we will extend to our wives. I love Laura Lee. I love my daughters, Carmela and Olivia. It's the same word I'll use when I talk of you, that I love you. It is the word love. It is the word that we find in our readings today. That we are to love our neighbor. What kind of love? What does that love look like? That as Christians, people grafted on to the vine of Christ, we are to do acts, fruit, services of love. That we are to love our sister and brother. We are to love our neighbors. We are to love our family. And we're left with this word, love. We only have one word in the English language for love. We have lesser words, affection, like, infatuation, but we only have one word, love. And it's a broad word and it's a big word. So when God tells us to love, what does that look like? Surely the love we hold for our children, for our spouses, husbands and wives, the love for our neighbor, these things are shown differently. Hopefully they're expressed differently. But yet it's meant to be love. Jesus says that he is the true vine. Now I'm not very smart, but if Jesus says he is the true vine, then by definition there must be a false vine. Jesus just doesn't say that he is the vine, but that he is the true vine. We are the branches and God is the gardener. Branches that bear no fruit. People that connect themselves to Christ for their own benefit, for their own sense of self-worth, for their own desire to please others. We are told they are cut off. Their connection to Jesus does not bear any fruit. It does not lead them to any services of act or love or charity or support. They simply take from God, but give nothing to the world. We are told they are cut off from the vine. And then there are other branches. Branches that bear fruit. The fruit of repentance and service and suffering and charity and support. And all these gifts of the Spirit that St. Paul talks about in his numerous letters. And of course, at this point, we can pat ourselves in the back and say, hey, where are those branches? We're making quilts. We're giving to local charities. We're praying for one another. We're doing things. We're supporting others. We're being involved. We're doing all this stuff. And thanks be to God that we are among those. But there's a small part of that verse that we should also recognize. Those branches that bear fruit, Christ says, they too will be pruned. They will not be cut off from the vine, but they will be pruned so they can produce even more fruit. Now those who garden, and this is probably where I stray, somewhere I shouldn't, because people that know more about preaching than me say, if you don't know something very well, you shouldn't talk about it because someone's going to correct you later on. But I've killed enough plants to have a good understanding of gardening. And I know when I go to prune a tree, I prune off the dead stuff. The squiggly little branches, the stuff hanging over, it's in the way, the parts I hit my head on when I'm trying to cut the lawn, this is what I trim off. So there's a stronger branch left. This is what Christ is saying to us. Those of us connected to the true vine that are bearing fruits worthy of God, we too will be pruned. There are things in our life that are detrimental to us producing the good fruits of love and service and grace and forgiveness and all these things. And so God brings the pruning shears to us. And we might not always like what that looks like. We might like that little offshoots in our life. Those little discursions we think are harmless. Ideas that we hold on to. Relationships that we hold on to. Anger that we hold on to. Jealousy we hold on to. Greed that we hold on to. Envy that we hold on to. Everything that is not of the true vine. And God, the gardener, comes and he wants to prune us of those things. Because the more we get rid of this stuff, just like the branches that suck up the nutrients from the healthy part of the tree, the more that we hold on to these things, the less bountiful our fruit is. The more we hold on to jealousy and envy and anger, and the list can go on. And all of us have these little offshoots, these little green shoots, these little sprouts in our life that really go nowhere and lead to nothing. But they take energy. They suck just a little bit of life out of us. And our true fruit, our true works and our true calling are diminished somewhat. And so God, the gardener, says, I want to trim you of those things. People who open their gardens up now, and I hear the rototillers out every day. You know, as you plant a garden, the tomatoes start coming up. Get the scissors and get after those little suckers. That brings forth a better harvest. Farmers know. Plant the seed, get rid of the weeds, because they suck up the nutrients from the soil. They choke out the healthy wheat production. Let's get rid of that. The same is true in our life. What things are stealing from our time? What things turn our hearts inward? What things keep us from bearing the good fruits of love? And what does that love look like? Well, God is an example of love. We are told in all three readings that God's love is shown not in power. God doesn't lord it over us. God doesn't say, love me or you'll be cut off and swept into the eternal fire. That's not the message God gives us today. God's love is shown in sacrifice. While we were still in our sin, God sent his only Son, Jesus Christ, into the world to suffer and die for us, so that we might have true life. God shows us love by sacrifice. How do we show love? Christ comes into the world, and he shows us love through truth. This is, I think, we're called to interact with our neighbors. We're called to be truthful. We're called to be honest. See, I'm not an expert in this, but I've had my share of difficult neighbors. Maybe I'm a difficult neighbor, I'm not sure. But you know what really starts getting relationships toxic? When we start holding on to stuff. When we're ticked off at that person, but we're kind of scared to tell them. Hey, don't let your dog defecate on my front yard. So every day we see the neighbor bringing a little Skippy in our front yard, and Skippy does his business, and we start yelling at our wife, "What is that guy doing?" Instead of simply going outside and saying, "Please, use the yard across the street." And so for years we stare out that window and we build up this anger and hostility and we let it creep into all of our relationships, and pretty soon, like, we're quietly hoping for a truck to hit this guy on the way to work, when all it would take was simply going outside and saying, "Excuse me, I don't appreciate that." Because we're scared to speak the truth. And you know why? Because we don't like confrontation. I'm not sure why that is, but all of us don't like confrontation. We kind of want to go along to get along, but you know what? It doesn't really work that way. We simply brood it up, and we simmer in it, and we complain to anyone who will listen, when we really should be talking to the person that we have the problem with. Because love speaks truth. In truth is where we find forgiveness. In truth is where we find grace. In truth is where we find correction. In truth is where we find repentance. We come to worship today and we start with confession and forgiveness. We are speaking the truth that we are not perfect, that we have sinned and fallen short of the glory that God's intended for us. But if we didn't do that, we might just deceive ourselves. Yeah, we're pretty good. But we can't allow ourselves to do that. If we're going to live lives that bear fruits worthy of the Spirit, if we're going to live lives that show love, then we're going to have to live lives that tell the truth. And truth-telling simply doesn't reflect on others. It's not our calling to simply go through the world and tell everyone the truth about their lives, how they annoy you. Truth-telling starts with ourselves. What things do we do? What gifts do we bear in our lives? What things do we propagate? What things do we stir up? How do we diminish the lives of others? How does our sinfulness benefit us, but subjugate those around us? What things are we doing to separate ourselves from family and friends and co-workers? And the more we tell the truth, the more we take ourselves to the cross, the more that we go in love to one another, the more honest we are, the more our lives grow. The less filled with avarice and anger and all these things we are, because we have spoken the truth. To me, this is what love looks like. I think love is a very vulnerable thing. I think no matter how we express love, whether it is husband and wife, parent and child, or neighbor to neighbor, or co-worker to co-worker, when we make ourselves vulnerable, we are acting in love. If I speak the truth to you, you can throw it in my face, you can ignore it, it can spur you to action, it can cause you to yell at me, but I've made myself vulnerable. I'm saying, here's where I'm at in life. Here's my concern, here's my worry, here's my problem, whatever it may be. But we've opened ourselves up. This is why we hate the confrontation. We don't know how someone's going to respond when we speak the truth to them. They might yell at us, they might ignore us, they might escalate things. We don't know. We've made ourselves vulnerable. When I say to my wife, "I love you," I'm opening myself up. How will she respond? That's nice. Take out the garbage. Or will she say, "I love you back"? See, I'm standing in front of all of you. I'm making myself vulnerable.
We all love each other.
Well, that's very kind, you know. And I love all of you, but just by loving you, I've made myself vulnerable because I care about you. If you weren't here this morning, you know what? I'm thinking, why not? If you stop coming to church, I take that personally. What have I done wrong? There is vulnerability in love. Loving relationships might look different. They might be created differently, but I think they all include vulnerability. Because to be vulnerable means I'm invested in you. Your decisions matter to me. Your thoughts about me matter to me. Our relationship matters. Whether that's with my wife or my children or my neighbor or a stranger I'm standing behind the supermarket, if you matter, then I've made myself vulnerable. Because you in some way affect me. And so we're told love, that God is love. That means God's made himself vulnerable. God's changed his relationship with us. God is chasing us. God's invested in us. God cares for us. Yes, God loves us. When we're said to bear fruits of love, make ourselves vulnerable. Speak the truth to people. Serve people, recognizing they might not care for it, they might not like it, they might ignore it, you might not get thanked for it, but do it anyways. We ship off all these quilts and we'll never see the faces that use them. We won't know how they dramatically change lives. We won't know what refugee mother carries her children across what border. We won't know if they're cut up and turned into diapers or backpacks or whatever they are, but we pray for God's blessing that God sees the faces, that God knows the stories. But the people who make these quilts and they work for months. They do it because that is a service of love. They make themselves vulnerable. Will they be received? Will they be appreciated? Will they be used? That's up to the recipient. I think the same is true for us. Our lives are connected. We are invested in one another. Our relationships are different. There are husbands and wives here today. There are cousins here today. There are uncles and aunts. There are grandparents. There are friends, you name it. But all of us have a relationship of love. And they're different kinds of love. Let's be clear about that. But they all involve a vulnerability. If we are not vulnerable to one another, then we are in a power relationship. And you are subject to me, or I am subject to you. But we've been called to something different. We've been called to be the branches that bear fruit. And as we bear fruit, don't be surprised if God comes along in your life of prayer, and your life of service, and your life of struggle, and God's got the big pruning shears in his hand, and he's saying, you know what? These things you're holding on to, they are a dead end. They're taking your thoughts and your time and your possessions and your energy and your emotional capacity, and they are yielding nothing. Let's trim those things. And it might hurt. We might like to think that we can grow them somehow, that we can create something of it. But God knows. Christ is the true vine. I think there's other vines. I think as humans we can connect ourselves to all sorts of things. And we can confuse those things with love. But those things aren't love. We can connect ourselves to professional sports. We can connect ourselves to the casino. We can connect ourselves to you name it. We might mistake it for love. We might mistake desire for love. We might mistake affection for love. We might mistake energy for love. We might mistake happiness or joy for love. But those things are not love. True love, the love we connect ourselves with, is found in He who loved us first. That's Christ. Nothing else, no one else, has come to claim you, to die for you, to say, you are mine. No one else has said, you know what, I'd die for you again, and I'd die for you tomorrow because you mean that much to me. No one else created you. No one else truly knows the depths of your heart. And no one else can guarantee your future except for Jesus Christ. And when I say that to you, I make myself vulnerable. You can laugh at it. You can ignore it. But it's the truth of what I believe. It's where I stand in the world. I pray you'll join with me. I give thanks that we are branches grafted on to the same vine. I give thanks for the multiple and different fruits that we bear in our lives. We are a rich orchard filled with all sorts of things. Things that nourish and give and supply the world around us. And I'm honored to see that. I'm honored to serve with you. Thanks be to God. Amen.